The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Here a train of comes, it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when, but I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. Well, the train keeps a-moving on down to San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Well, the train keeps a-moving, I hang my head and cry.
Take it away, Jimmy.
For the third and final hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. And of course, Saturday night is never all right for that third and final hour because, well, we're less than an hour away from the end of this edition of the program. But of course, never fear. We will be back same time, same place next Saturday night with more engaging, intelligent talk, Sang style, here on News Talk 710 KNUS. This tune, by the way, was done in studio at 710 KNUS with Lo Becker of the Becker Band, which was denied the ability to perform at the rally, the pro-police rally, Colorado, downtown Civic Center Park. What a great guy, Lo Becker. And we wanted to finish the song Folsom Prison Blues that Antifa had denied us the ability to perform. And it was just so much fun. I did it when filling in for George Brockler. Welcome back once again to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, where I am pleased to welcome a country music fan, a candidate for Senate District 27. In fact, the Republican candidate for Senate District 27, former Deputy Secretary of State for Colorado, and over at the Public Trust Institute was the lawyer who essentially prosecuted John Hickenlooper's Ethics Commission. Suzanne Steyer joins us here on the program. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you on. I appreciate you taking the time. There's so much to talk about, especially given what went on with Hickenlooper this week with the Colorado Independent Ethics Commission revealing their findings of fact and conclusions of law, their final report, as it were. And I want to jump right in there, and then we'll get into the campaign stuff and switch hats over to SD27. But let's put on your Public Trust Institute hat. What have we seen from this IEC report?
Well, they were basically just reciting the facts from the hearing and then talking about how they reached their conclusions. We saw a dissent from one of the commissioners who wanted to vote for an additional violation and another dissent who wanted to not vote for one of the violations we had. So it's a pretty thorough report. It's got some concerning parts to it, but, we didn't see them change or, change their decision.
Oh, so overall, in terms of what the IEC determined, what was it exactly? Because there were several different instances that had been presented in the complaint before this commission, and yet they didn't decide to find him in violation of all of them. So what did they conclude that Hickenlooper did wrong, Suzanne Steyer?
So So there were two violations that they concluded were violations of the Constitution. One had to do with a trip he took out to a submarine christening type event in Colorado for the USS Colorado. And he took a private flight with a corporation, MDC Holdings, and then went to a number of VIP events that only he was invited to. And so they found that that was an illegal gift from the corporation. And then the second one was a trip he took to Bilderberg out in Turin, Italy, which is a conference for, I don't know, sort of glitterati elite. It's like world leaders and corporate leaders and people like that. And he took that trip, and it was primarily paid for by Chrysler Fiat. So he didn't pay for it, and so that was another illegal gift.
That was the one where he got that nice Maserati limo ride, right?
Right, yes. He had the Maserati. He had the rooftop cocktails. He had the private, you know, museum trips. He had an army of security. He had everything.
A very swanky time for the then governor, John Hickenlooper. And not only that, but his attorney's fees, his legal bills were paid for through this 9/11 recovery fund, right?
Right. So about $150,000 that we have so far. I don't know. I don't even think that concludes the legal fees. But he did bill. He had an attorney that paid for by the state through the 9/11 recovery funds that was billing $525 an hour.
Yeah, it's really something, especially when he's held in contempt, the very first Coloradan ever to be held in contempt before the Independent Ethics Commission. How did that come about, Suzanne Steyert?
Well, initially, his attorney had agreed that he would appear at the Ethics Commission, and we were going to have a hearing in March. And then coronavirus happened, and the hearing got continued. And then, you know, since that time, all the hearings in the courts have been remote. And so they've been on a like, Zoom-type platform, which is called WebEx. And he refused to appear at this Zoom, you know, type platform. He didn't want to appear remotely. He claimed it violated his due process rights. And so we issued a subpoena and, you know, had it served. And then he still didn't appear the first day of the hearing. And so the commission found him in contempt for not appearing at his own hearing.
Here's one of my favorite parts, though. I want to play a clip. Actually, you'll hear a little bit of an answer that Hickenlooper gave in an interview about who needs to be protecting him from stuff like these IEC complaints. And then your exchange with him on that. Let's take a listen to this.
You guys should be protecting me on stuff like this.
And in that comment, who is you guys? You guys should be protecting me.
Oh, that was, I was referring to the journalist I was talking to because, well, there was one journalist I was talking to. So I was, you guys was other journalists.
Okay.
That was a great answer you got from him. It was reaffirming what we all knew. But I think that really tells us where Hickenlooper has been coming from in this whole investigation and complaint proceeding, Suzanne Steyert.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't think he had to appear. He didn't think the rules applied to him, the ethics rules or the rules to appear in court. You know, the entire time he expected his attorney or the state or the media or somebody to protect him from, you know, having to answer for what he did when he was in office.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job with that. And I'm glad to see sort of reaffirmation for the most part in this Colorado Independent Ethics Commission of what they determined in finding these violations, really laying it out, because there's a lot that Hickenlooper did here that was wrong from start to finish. Even now, I mean, how we saw him handle the proceedings before the commission was really just plain stunning, to be sure. But I want to shift gears and take off your Public Trust Institute hat and put your hat on as a candidate for Senate District 27. I know that you have been out walking, knocking on doors quite a bit. Let me ask you real briefly, tell us a little bit about who Suzanne Steyert is and why you're running for SD 27.
So I've been down here in SC27. It's a mostly Centennial, all of Centennial, all the way out into unincorporated Arapahoe County to around E470. And I've lived here in the district for about 20 years and have three daughters. And obviously before this, as we just discussed, I was Deputy Secretary of State. I also was a Littleton City Attorney. I worked for Centennial, Aurora. So I've really worked down in this South Metro area for a long time. And now I'm running for this state Senate seat.
What inspired you to take the jump into electoral politics and run as a candidate? Because you haven't run for office before. You served the people of Colorado, for example, as Deputy Secretary of State from 2012 to 2019, but you haven't run for office. So what inspired you to take that step?
Well, part of it is just a personal circumstance of being able to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm in private practice part-time, and my youngest daughter will be 16 in August. And, you know, running for office is a huge commitment. Being in office is a huge commitment. Down at the General Assembly, you know, from January to May, it's really super late hours. And it just wasn't really something I could do when, you know, I was already juggling work and kids and, you know, life. So it's really kind of the first time I could jump into something like that and give it the full effort. And I also just really care a lot about the district and, you know, the issues that are particular to the district. So running to try to, you know, continue to hold that seat and represent those people.
What is it about public service that you found appealing, Suzanne?
You can just really, you know, shape good policy and do the right thing when you're in public service. And I mean, sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you hope it will, but it is a place that you can really make, you know, effective changes that help people and help businesses and help us grow
sure.
our economy and grow our district.
Speaking of helping businesses and helping economies to grow, let's talk for a moment about economic development amidst this pandemic crisis, the economic malaise that we're seeing. Suzanne Steyert, again, Republican nominee for Senate District 27. When you look at the economic issues that we're facing, what do you think needs to be done to revitalize things?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is stop any new regulations or major programs from coming in that are going to hurt businesses or continue to make the market unstable. And so looking at things like, you know, a public option for healthcare or family leave act, things that could end up being sort of unfunded, you know, mandates as big as PARA, those things are going to scare businesses off and make it a less friendly environment. Oil and gas regulations, same thing, you know, continuing to sort of have a war with an industry that does a lot for Colorado, I think is a will negatively continue to negatively impact us. Taxes, that's a huge issue out here in the district because Cherry Creek is part of what the legislature has called an equalization effort where they're trying to equalize the mill levy across school boards, and they want to require Cherry Creek to take their mills from 17 to 27,
wow.
which, as you know, is a substantial amount of money for property taxes, and they may get nothing for that, but if they don't do it, they may end up seeing their budget cut by that amount, and there's just not money there for those kinds of cuts. So, you know, I really like to be a voice for the district about how that's going to work, how that, you know, how we can meet the district's needs and the taxpayers' needs. So
one thing that's just so striking about that is basically the state is looking to force a local school district to significantly increase its tax burden on property owners in the district's area.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And, you know, they're saying that it's because, oh, we need to raise the mill levy for all these rich school districts. But the fact is Cherry Creek is not a rich school district. It's already one third free lunch. And, you know, that number could get worse. And so these are not property owners that have money to spare. You know, when you're looking at an average raise of $400 a year per household, that's real money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's going to have an impact.
A big impact. So. But speaking of education, there's this debate, discussion over reopening schools, how we're going about it, different school districts doing different things, although it seems like there's still a heavy emphasis on online education. Your thoughts on the reopening schools discussion, Suzanne Steyert, as well as education more broadly?
Well, Cherry Creek and Littleton are the two school districts in Senate District 27, and they're both doing kind of similar things, which is offering either an online option or kind of a hybrid model where the kids are going to go a couple days a week, although the elementary school kids will be able to go every day. So I think that the district, you know, they did a poll of the parents, and I think that they're actually trying to, you know, move forward with what the parents wanted to see, which is, I think, a positive thing. So, in this district, it's not quite as bad as we've seen other places where they're just refusing to open. At least our kids are getting some options. And so I don't really have any criticisms of the district in terms of the way that they've been handling it. There are, you know, issues about having good choices and whether or not, you know, kids have choices of schools down here. And I think that we're seeing a lot of parents now opt out or go to private school or do the online option. And, if they choose to do that, I think that's fine, but there should be resources for that, for those parents too.
What do you mean by that, resources?
Well, right now your only option is the public school option, and there's not a whole lot of charters in these districts. Cherry Creek's just opened one that kind of an innovation school, which I think is a really positive development. But I think we do need to emphasize a little more choice in the district. And, you know, I mean, we're pretty border close to the STEM school, but because of, busing restrictions, the district isn't able to bring a bus in if you want to enroll your kid there. And so the only people who can really optionally enroll somewhere are parents who can provide transportation.
And this, in many cases, would take some action on the part of the legislature, particularly to make more opportunities available to students around the state, including in SD 27, which you're running to represent in the Senate.
Yep, exactly.
Again, Suzanne Steyert, our guest here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, Republican candidate for Senate District 27. As I mentioned, once again, what's the area that SD 27 entails?
All of Centennial out into what the mailing address is, Aurora, but it's really unincorporated Arapahoe County out to about E-470.
Let's talk about something that I always find so important and often gets lost in discussions running for office, but good government. What is involved in providing good government? As we noted before, for about 6-7 years, you were in the Secretary of State's office as Deputy Secretary of State, serving in two separate administrations, first under Scott Gessler and then under Wayne Williams. And so you really had that experience of helping to provide, especially in overseeing elections. There's a lot of concern about elections right now and so forth. But what do you think makes for good government, and what would you like to bring as far as good governance in the state Senate, Suzanne?
Well, I think it's about actually serving the people and not serving special interests. And so, at the Secretary of State's office, we implemented the mail ballot system that we have now in Colorado, and it's a good system. It's one that balances integrity and access to the ballot. It's about being transparent in the way that you operate. So, allowing people access to your records, not trying to hide things from the voters. And it's just approaching it with that sort of mindset that I'm here to serve the people that have elected me, and not, a bunch of special interest groups that are vying for influence.
In terms of the system of elections here in Colorado, nationally we're hearing broad brush statements made by the president, for example, that mail ballots are ripe for fraud, that drop boxes are even a problem. The only way to do it is vote in person or vote by absentee. But then on the Democratic side, you have this broad brush picture being painted that says, look, in every instance, all we need is to just provide money to the Postal Service. They need more money. Give them money. And provide more money to state and local governments, and then they're going to be able to implement it anywhere in the country, hunky-dory, just fine, without any problems with a statewide or nationwide vote-by-mail type of scheme. Is there some truth in either of those, in both of those? Are they missing the mark? What do you think Colorado says about that, what we're seeing nationally and for other states and for our own security and vibrancy of the process here?
Well, I think that, you know, it's really just a bunch of talking points that are not geared at quality election administration. I mean, the bill that they introduced in the House to have all mail ballots banned signature verification, which is the way that we ensure integrity in our system in Colorado. And so it would take the system we have in Colorado and it wouldn't copy it. It would essentially toss it out and institute a new system. And that signature verification process is the only way we know that the voter casting the ballot is actually the voter. So you see, you know, this sort of debate that is really kind of a dishonest debate going on, which is unfortunate because then you're not really allowed to talk about the things that matter because you're caught up in, you know, just a bunch of propaganda.
Well, one thing that's so striking to me, too, is when you have, Suzanne, all of this back and forth and then there's so much misinformation, you can't actually identify what the real problems are that need to be addressed. Or maybe you and I can and we can have a discussion and pointing out signature verification, for example, is a critical component and really helps to demonstrate that you can rely on the results of an election. But also, like, if we have this debate in Colorado reawakened because some people are starting on the right, for example, are starting to think, you know what? Maybe mail ballots are a problem or something. We have this discussion more here. That is hard to identify. Like, oh, it's actually that the county clerk and recorder of Arapahoe County, for example, screwed up in this way or that way. It's not the post office or not this or not that. It's harder to cut through and actually talk about what really are the issues that may come up if you're not having a genuine discussion about the facts.
Right, right. And that's really what we're seeing now is the whole thing, rather than being a talk about how to administer it, has just been sort of, you know, all of the talk is just spent, unfortunately, on platforms like Twitter, where you can't really have a discussion. So, you know, I mean, that kind of getting back to sort of a good governance where you're really trying to do what is best for the citizens rather than what is best for your party or what is best for some interest group.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say, just a couple minutes left with you, Suzanne Steyert. One of the things that, of course, is very interesting in this state is who we have as Secretary of State with Jenna Griswold. You're, as I am, and SD27 is in Arapahoe County. We have a clerk and recorder, Joan Lopez. So we've had a lot of issues that have come up with both of these individuals. So just one quick question for you. Do you think, are you feeling confident about November and the results, despite some of these concerns about particular election officials, given the way in which you know from having helped to bring this system into fruition in the first place, the way that it works from a reliability standpoint, do you feel confident still in the election?
I feel confident that it'll be tabulated correctly because we have, you know, people that are from both parties who act as election judges and kind of checks on each other. I'm a little concerned about the front end part of it, you know, getting the correct ballots out and getting them mailed and printed and printed and mailed and out to the voters. But, you know, ultimately we also have an ability to go vote in person here. And so there is sort of a safe safety net there. Doesn't exist in other places. Mm.
Suzanne Steyert, Republican nominee for Senate District 27. Final question we always ask candidates who come on this program. Where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign?
So my website is SuzanneSteyert.com. It's SuzanneSteyert.com. We also have a Facebook page.
And a final quick word before we cut you loose?
You know, I hope I get everybody's support. We're out there working really hard and want to talk to voters. And, you know, I answer the phone, so give me a call.
I appreciate it. Suzanne Steyert running for Senate District 27. Keep up the good work and best of luck on the campaign trail. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bob Roth will join us, Senate District 26, Canada on the Republican side. Don't go anywhere. with quite literally the best bumper music known to man just, weeks from now. For more than, nearly 7 years running, it's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Yes, about to hit the 7-year milestone in the middle of next month, which is pretty crazy if you really think about it. And, of course, it's a great tune by the great late Stevie Ray Vaughan here on News Talk 710 KNUS, singing about being stranded in the crossfire. And sometimes when you're involved in politics, and especially when you decide to run for office, you might find yourself in the political crossfire. One of those individuals who has stepped up to the plate, as it were, running for office in Senate District 26, which just so happens to be my Senate district, is a man by the name of Bob Roth, and he joins us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Bob, welcome to 710 KNUS.
Jimmy, thank you very much for having me. I love a little Southern rock, little Austin area music, so that was a great intro. Thank you.
Stevie Ray Vaughan was just absolutely phenomenal. I will say that, in my view, he is at least the second best guitarist ever to live, second perhaps only to Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I would say perhaps only. He may well be. Steve, yep. You may well be the best. To me, he is. He's certainly my favorite. So, Bob Roth, welcome to the show. You're running for Senate District 26 here in Colorado. Tell me a little bit about Bob. Who are you? And why are you running, too?
I bumped my head. No,
that makes sense, actually.
Yeah. No, again, I appreciate the opportunity, Jimmy. And so I'll just give a little snapshot of myself personally. I'm a third generation Coloradan. I was born in Leadville. Not very many people can say that they were born in Leadville. But we moved away when I was pretty young, so I didn't grow up there. I always tell people that we moved out of Colorado. I didn't have a vote when we left, and I came back as quick as I could. So I spent the majority of my life here in Colorado. I am a father and grandfather. I've been a conservative thought leader in the city of Aurora for about a couple of decades now. And my background is construction, specifically electrical construction, about a 30-plus year career in electrical construction. And in February of 2018, I opened my own consulting business doing business development for and developers in the area. So that's kind of the quarter tour of, you know, who I am and a little bit about my career.
And so why are you running other than you bumped your head?
Well, you know, when I got involved in different citizen commissions and committees in the city of Aurora, after a few years, I started having people tell me, you know, you really should think about running for city council. And I did that. I served the citizens of the city of Aurora for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't have visions, quite honestly, of running another campaign this year. But I was approached. And bottom line is, having both chambers of the legislature and the governor's house all in one party is not good. We need to have a split legislature. So I was approached, and I said, they said, you know, the House is pretty tough for us to capture. It's 41-24, but the Senate is within grasp. The Senate is 16-19. We need to gain 2 seats in order to regain control in conservative voices, the Senate. And my seat, Senate District 26, is one of the top 2 targeted seats in the state. So having conversations with several people, I decided, okay, I'm gonna do it. I think it's the right thing to do. They have told me that they think I'm the right candidate. So I threw my hat in the ring in February, and then March happened.
Yeah, the world suddenly changed, and the campaign, the way in which you campaigned, suddenly changed, at least for several months.
Yes, it's been pretty tough, because right now a lot of the things that I would be doing in a quote-unquote normal campaign are very difficult to do now.
Right.
But we did start a little over a month ago. We started knocking on doors. We're phone banking. we're going to rely on digital media. But the bottom line is that this, it's an uphill battle. I'm facing an incumbent that is has a strong voice, and it's going to be an uphill mm-hmm. battle. But I believe with hard work, I'm dedicated to it. I believe with hard work of my on my part, as well as many volunteers, we can accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to be part of the conversation of winning the Senate back.
Yeah.
And we need to maintain 27. We need to win, take back 19, and we need to take back 26, and we're good to go.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And let's just say that you are already part of taking back the Senate. You're the Republican nominee in Senate District 26. And let me just ask you this question real quick, Bob. Let's clarify, what does SD 26 include as far as area?
You know, it's a really diverse area. I actually barely live in the district because it includes just a portion of Western Aurora. And it happens to be where I live, right along Parker Road, along Bellevue Quincy area, and then it jumps over Cherry Creek Reservoir and it goes to Greenwood Village, Cherry Hills Village, Englewood, Littleton, Sheridan, and Bomar, and in Columbine Valley.
And
so it's a
good chunk of Aurora in that mix too. I mean, that is a diverse area. It includes when I remember a few years ago. One of my friends was telling me that he was in SD 26 in Littleton, and I was like, wait a second, that's the district that I'm in Aurora, because I had recently moved there, and I was a little puzzled. How in the world are we in the same Senate district? But there we go. Bob Roth, again, our guest, Republican candidate for Senate District 26, challenging incumbent Democrat Jeff Bridges, who absolutely has to go without question. Bob, let's dive into a few top issues that we're hearing about. I talked to you before we brought you on air about three issues you're hearing voters discuss. They're not surprising at all. They're top of mind for me as well. Economic recovery, getting kids back in school safely, and then police funding. Let's take each of these a piece at a time. Let's start with the economic recovery. What do you think needs to be done in Colorado in order to help boost our economic potential coming out of the pandemic?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, Jimmy, of course. And as a small business owner myself, I understand the challenges that we face. I understand the difficulties that we face in reopening our economy and making sure that it's a fair playing field for everybody. Now, I will never run a negative campaign, but I'm not afraid to point out differences between myself and my opponent. And in economic recovery, there's a huge, startling difference between myself and my opponent. I am pro-business. I will do everything I can to help local businesses thrive and recover after COVID-19. My opponent has been front and center on some legislative action down at the State House that would devastate Colorado businesses. And I'll give you just one example. He didn't sponsor the bill, but he's very much in favor of it. And it basically has to do with if you are an essential worker and you contract coronavirus, it will be assumed that you contracted that at the workplace. And you will be eligible for workers' comp benefits. And it is incumbent on the employer to defend that so that the employer has one of two or both. Huge legal liability to prove that you did not contract it in the workplace and the responsibility for paying out those workers' comp benefits. This single item is going to cost Colorado businesses millions of dollars. So right in the middle of trying to recover from this COVID-19, he is willing to smack businesses with a penalty that is going to be millions of dollars. I don't understand that at all.
No, that is not only inhibiting business, but potentially decimating, especially small businesses as they're trying to recover. So that's absolutely it's abominable to think that they would be pushing forward with that. So that's one clear-cut difference between you and your opponent. What's something you would like to see done in the next legislative session? Once 2021 hits, Senator Roth is there. What do you want to do to help revitalize the economy as opposed to hopefully Democrats aren't in charge and Republicans will have retaken the state Senate with you as a member of the Senate, of course. But regardless, if they do or if they don't, we need proactivity to help generate business growth. What do you think needs to be done?
I think the biggest thing that needs to be done is government just needs to get out of the way.
That's the right answer.
Government, yes, government needs to provide the environment whereby businesses can be successful and then get out of the way. We don't need regulation. We don't need all these different things that businesses have to jump through this hoop and dot this I and cross this T, get out of the way. I also think that we need to encourage our economic development folks to have the latitude to do more to attract new business to the state of Colorado, and specifically, of course, to SB 26. SB 26 has some great economic drivers, some of the best economic drivers in the state as far as venues for entertainment and business centers and retail and all of that. But right now it's being stifled. Mm-hmm. We need to reopen Colorado. That's one of the biggest things. We have to reopen Colorado.
Speaking of reopening Colorado, Bob Roth, Republican candidate for Senate District 26, including Aurora and Littleton and Greenwood Village, a whole slew of areas. Getting kids back in school. Now, we're starting to see schools reopen now. This month is that time period, but even school districts that are allowing for in-person learning are at most, it seems, having like a couple of days a week for in-person and then a lot of days at home, which is just not, in my view, not particularly effective. What's your take on getting kids back in school so they can have the greatest educational opportunities possible for them?
Well, the first thing I would say is that I'm a huge proponent of parental choice. Parents are the best judge of what their children need to be successful. So that includes a lot of things. I mean, that's kind of a mouthful, but it includes a lot of things. It includes the opportunity for parents to be able to choose what educational path their children take, whether that be private school or public school or online learning, homeschooling. They need to have the opportunity to choose that for themselves. I believe that we can safely reopen schools in our current situation. I don't know the exact statistics, but from what I know, the incidence of COVID in children that are in elementary and middle school is negligible. Now, I have a 7-year-old grandson. If my 7-year-old grandson contracted coronavirus and really struggled, I would feel horrible about it. But statistically, it is minuscule, and I believe that we need to reopen the schools in a safe manner, of course, and provide that that in-person learning environment. So, but the biggest thing to me is the parental choice.
Would you like to see, in a situation, hopefully this pandemic will be resolved by the time you would get in the legislature come January, Bob Roth, but
yes.
But let's say it's not quite resolved and we're still dealing with these issues and schools aren't fully reopened in certain areas, but parents want to be able to send their kids using funds, perhaps taxpayer funds that they've also put in so that they can send their kid to another school instead of being just married to a school that is not opening for them to be able to go in. But there's another school, maybe it's a charter school or a private school of some sort down the street. There's a lot of talk about enabling and empowering parents to send their kids to a school that's actually open using funds that are provided some support from the states.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Jimmy, because I am absolutely supportive of that. So my personal experience is that I went to parochial private school all the way through high school. And I was in a situation where my parents gave up a lot to put 4 children through parochial school. They did not have that opportunity to use their tax dollars to afford us that. So they were paying for other children to go through public school and paying separately for us to go to private school. I absolutely believe that there is something to be said, not just something to be said. There's a very viable argument for being able to allow parents that personal choice to use their dollars for the education that they choose for their children.
Yeah, it's very true, and just something that I think we need to see more of. Again, Bob Roth joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, Republican candidate for Senate District 26, former Aurora City Councilman. Let's talk about one other issue I know that is top of mind as so many voters, and you're hearing about it as you're knocking on doors, police funding. Well, what about that and providing support for our police as opposed to defunding them?
I don't understand the logic whatsoever in defunding police. And I've seen social media posts and people trying to make the case for social workers and citizen enforcement officers and, you know, whatever there might be. The bottom line is, in any industry, I don't care if it's ministers or police officers or business people or even politicians, imagine that. There are a certain element of bad apples, period. And obviously, you're always trying to weed out the bad apples. Now, in policing, I believe that there are things that we can do that are minor revisions that can provide us a better law enforcement, overall. And I believe that the law enforcement officers who are doing things correctly would defend most of them. So I think that we can look at better training. I definitely think that we can look at 100% use of body-worn cameras. And by the way, most police officers would support 100% body-worn cameras because the vast majority of the time, a body-worn camera shows the police officer acted correctly and the citizen maybe exaggerated the situation. So they would support that. And then I really think that we need to provide better mental health opportunities for our first responders. I can't imagine having a job where every day I put a badge on my chest and put a gun on my hip and go to work not knowing if I'm going to see my family that night. Now, you or I could get in a car accident and not come home tonight, but it's much more likely the law enforcement officer may not come home at night. And, you know, for them to do what they do and be treated the way they sometimes are, it just appalls me. So, I will tell you on a side note that my opponent has been very visible at least two anti-law enforcement rallies. That's who he is. I am pro-law enforcement.
Yeah, no, it is. I've heard of that, and it's very disappointing. Not particularly surprising, though, but very disappointing. And so I resonate with your message very much. We're out of time, Bob Roth, but I do want to ask you a final question that I ask every candidate who comes on this program. Where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign? And a final word for us tonight.
Well, again, thank you very much, Jimmy. I appreciate the opportunity. My website is www.roth4sd26.com. So that's ROTHFORSD26.com. And, you know, my final word would be that I think that there's a very clear demarcation between me and my opponent. And I encourage everybody to look at his record, look at his voting record, look at who I am. And to me, the choice is very clear.
Bob Roth, former Aurora City Councilman, running for Senate District 26 as the Republican nominee, challenging Jeff Bridges, who absolutely needs to go, and my Senate district. So, Bob, you have my vote. Best of luck to you on the campaign trail. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is it for us tonight here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. But never fear, we will be back same time, same place next Saturday night with more engaging, intelligent talk, Seng style. Don't miss it. Plus, be sure to check out my web show during the week, Jimmy at the Crossroads, youtube.com/Jimmy at the Crossroads. Subscribe today. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I've got one more thing up my sleeve, this great tune by the phenomenal Albert Cummings, a great guy too, by the way, a live song called Up Your Sleeve. Enjoy, have a great weekend, and of course, may God bless America.
You're just so damn smart, baby. You've been fooling me. Oh, but baby. Ever not around.